Welcome to Laudio. I'm Lisa McIntosh. As members and friends of the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand, many of our listeners will know that the question of ordination to the public ministry, or more particularly women's ordination, has been a topic of much debate and, sadly, division in our church over several decades. Earlier this year, our primary decision-making body, the LCANZ General Synod, asked the church leadership to explore the theological, constitutional, and governance issues involved in establishing one church with two different practices of ordination. The resulting project is known as the Way Forward. I'm joined today by three guests who are involved in it and can tell us more about the background, structure, work, and expectations of the Way Forward. Pastor David Altus, Bishop Emeritus of the South Australia Northern Territory District, a long-term former member of the College of Bishops and a member of the Way Forward Reference Group, is with us today. So welcome, David.
Thanks, Lisa.
Also with us is Kim Baumeler, who is a member of the General Church Board. She is a member of the LCANZ in Tasmania. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
And the third member of our panel today is Trevor Ruthenberg, who is the chair of the Way Forward's Communications Working Group. In his day job, Trevor is the district administrator of the church's Queensland district. Welcome, Trevor.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here today. So firstly, I'll ask, how did the Way Forward project come about? And I might direct that one to David to start with.
Sure. Well, at the February 2023 in-person sessions of the General Synod, the Church accepted that, despite decades of study, dialogue, debate and prayer, we simply haven't and aren't likely to reach consensus on ordination. We named and addressed that reality at the convention. The debate, we all know, has been long, painful and debilitating, and the consensus was that to continue to debate is likely to further fracture the church. So in an attempt to find a way forward that preserves the unity of our church, General Synod asked the General Church Board and the College of Bishops to work towards a framework that allows two practices of ordination, one being men only and the other both men and women. In essence, this proposal concedes that we will agree to disagree on the matter of ordination, but it also hopes that this disagreement isn't sufficient to divide us. The exact wording of the resolution, and I might read it to the listeners, is that General Synod direct the LCANZ General Church Board and the College of Bishops to A, work through the theological, constitutional, and governance requirements to operate as one church with two different practices of ordination, and to establish a detailed framework through which this could be accomplished, such as one or more existing LCANZ districts becoming districts that teach and practice the ordination of both women and men to the office of the public ministry, or by establishing a non-geographical LCANZ district that does so. And B, submit the fruit of this work in the form of a proposal that should be discussed by the LCANZ General Pastors Conference for Convention of General Synod in 2024. And finally, C, it is the expectation of this General Convention of Synod that both women and men will be ordained in a district of the LCANZ during the 2024 to 2027 synodical period.
Thanks for that, David. So what is the Way Forward project and what is it expected to achieve? And I might direct this one to Kim as a member of the General Church Board.
Thank you, Lisa. So the purpose of the project team and its primary task is to deliver to the 2024 General Pastors Conference and to the Convention of General Synod a detailed framework through which the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand could function as one church with two different practices of ordination. And so that's to be in accordance with the resolution that Pastor David has just been talking about. So that process is quite lengthy and involved. First off, there was the request for submissions to be provided to the working group. And so that time for submissions has now closed, and the working group is working through all of those submissions and effectively developing a matrix so that we can look at the submissions, see how they could potentially fit and be of assistance to finding a way forward, and looking at the various submissions and distilling into a short list the three models that the church can then further explore. The hope is that ultimately there will be one framework that has been thought through and that has gone through all the various working groups and been analysed, and that is the model that will go to General Synod for 2024 for approval.
Thanks, Kim. As I mentioned in our introduction today, Pastor David, you are a member of the Way Forward Reference Group. Please tell us more about that.
Well, as you know, I was due to retire at the end of July this year, but before I even had one foot out the door, I was approached about being part of a three-person reference group, which was to be set up to support the project management team of the Way Forward project. Sharon Dixon from Queensland and Timothy Peach from here in South Australia, my colleagues on the reference group, and we were appointed by the General Church Board. So far, our role has been to be available frequently and often at short notice to the project management team to give advice and hopefully some wisdom and experience on a range of matters, and those include the development of the project as a whole, arriving at criteria to evaluate all the frameworks that were submitted by members of the church, and then being part of the evaluation process. And more recently, we've been involved in assisting the project management team in planning ahead so that the project can remain on schedule. We're not one of the eight topical working groups, and obviously all our work is submitted to the General Church Board and College of Bishops as the main decision makers, but our work helps the project along in the background and in between. So it's been a busy task in early retirement, but I couldn't just walk away and leave it to others to resolve the painful impasse that I've been part of and witnessed for decades, both as a pastor and recently as a bishop of the LCA. So I'm honoured and privileged to be serving the church in early retirement in this way.
Thanks, David, for that. Of course, we should point out that many people are serving this project in a volunteer capacity, and we do thank God for their service. Without them, we would not be able to do this work as a church. The next question I think I've got really looks at a communications sort of area, so I think it'll be a natural fit for one of our panel today. How will church members be kept informed about the progress of the Way Forward project?
I guess that's me, Lisa. Chair of the Communications Committee. Folks, it is truly, truly important that you keep yourself informed as to what's occurring over the next year or so. And part of my task with our team as well, helping us through some of this process, it's super important, people, that you become involved. And communication is not just a one-way street. Communication is a two-way street. So it's about us letting you know what's happening and asking you to feed back your thoughts, your concerns, your questions. And so immediately I would point you to the website, the LCA website. Go to the Way Forward page and there is always updates there. We also, a great place to go is the e-news. Sign up to the LCA e-news. Any of the latest communications around the Way Forward will come out through the e-news. Any requests for you as members to contribute to this project will come through that forum, as well as be in other places. So, for example, we'll be engaging help from the district administrators to help us push it out through the district newsletters, as well as emails and letters from time to time to various stakeholders and groups, for example, pastors or chairs of congregations and committees or secretaries, for example. So we'll be sending out updates as well as requesting feedback. And very soon you'll be able to go to the website and actually provide feedback without us asking for it. If you feel that that's important, or we missed something, or you're not sure what's going on, that opportunity will also be available. So primarily the website. Secondarily, please go and sign yourself up to the LCA e-news and watch also through the district e-newses.
Thanks, Trevor. So we've talked a bit about working groups today in regard to the Way Forward project. So what are they and what do they do?
Yeah, look, really, really good. It's good, again, good to understand. This is actually what General Convention asked General Church Board and College of Bishops to do is actually an enormous task. It's a huge task. And because of the change due to COVID in the synodical meeting times, it's actually a compressed time frame as well. And so wisely GCB and COB have broken the workload up across probably, my guess would be 70 odd people in 8 different groups. And those groups, and when I tell you the name of the groups, you'll understand what it is their task is. So the first working group is Synod Agenda and Outcome Planning, and there will be impacts on the agenda and the outcome based on the work that will be done over the next 12 months. Theological Requirements. The third one is Constitutional Requirements. Obviously, that's going to be important. The fourth one is Governance Requirements. The fifth one is Pastoral Care. And again, another very, very important group here as we work through this. As Pastor David said right at the start, the church has been struggling with this conversation for a very long time. And so it's important that we provide that opportunity for folks. Candidacy is also another consideration. The seventh one is communications. And then the eighth one is finance and budgeting. While we are one LCA, the districts are incorporated in using different mechanisms. And so we need to be very careful that whatever solutions we propose, we're actually able to implement those in a timely and cost-efficient manner. So again, another very important working group task that's required. Obviously, as Pastor David said, there's a three-person reference group that also helps to be available with experience and knowledge and for the various teams as well as for the project management team.
Are the working groups evenly balanced regarding their views about ordination? And why is that, or why is it not the case if it's not the case? Perhaps, David, what are your thoughts on this?
The short and honest answer, Lisa, is no. There are more people on the working groups who do support the ordination of women than those who don't. And while that's not ideal, the imbalance is simply due to the fact that many more people who support women's ordination expressed interest in joining the project than those who don't support it. That's the simple reality. Having said that, the nominations committee worked very hard to ensure that there was sufficient representation on the project of people who don't support the ordination of women so that their voice can be heard and considered in all deliberations along the way and in the development of a framework that would eventually go to the General Synod. So we still are confident that all voices will be heard, and that is the commitment of the project management team and the working groups. So it's important to note that the project team isn't working to promote the ordination of women as such, but it is working to develop a framework under which the LCA could operate as one church with two ordination practices. And that was the task assigned by the last convention. That's a critical distinction that listeners need to keep in mind. Also, I can say that all members of the project team, including the working groups, are expected to adhere to some principles of engagement as they go about their work. And two of those are that we commit to choosing words and actions that acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and as people who are all committed to the Word of God. And another is that as God helps us, we will put our own personal views on ordination or any other issue to one side as we listen to each other and earnestly strive to understand points of view that may be other than ones that we hold.
Thank you, Pastor David. So how can members get involved in this conversation at their congregational level, district level, or even church-wide level. Trevor, what would you recommend? You've already mentioned some things.
Yeah, thank you. So not only do we welcome participation, but all of the people in these various groups, not only welcome, but encourage participation. There's a wealth of knowledge and experience amongst our membership. And so we would ask, please become involved. If you feel like God's prompting you to share something with us, pray about it and become involved. Keep alert to the notifications coming from the WayForward project team about opportunities to engage with us over the next 12 months. And there will be multiple opportunities. In fact, one is coming soon, and we'll be putting out some information about this in the coming weeks, asking for folks to participate. So there were some 100 odd recommendations submitted to us in regard to what framework we might be able to utilize to answer this question. All of the participants in the working group provided a lot of work in looking through these and testing these. And ultimately, there will be three that will be developed into wholesome frameworks to test against. We will be seeking feedback on those three models from the general membership. And we're working very, very hard right now. And GCB COB will be ultimately reviewing this prior to it all going out to make sure that this is all fair and balanced and that we're getting the right feedback and the right mechanisms. And so please be alert. That's just one example. And again, it'll come out through the e-news. It'll come out through the website. And so look at the e-news, get onto the website, look for the district e-newsers. All those will be avenues where we'll be consistently telling people what's going on, encouraging people to get involved in what's occurring at the time.
That's wonderful. And of course, the Lutheran magazine is another way that people can read in our church what's going on. This is a conversation and a journey that all members of the LCANZ are part of. And it's wonderful that people heavily involved in this project and in the leadership of this project are encouraging every member to have their say and to become involved. Despite that, though, there's still a feeling that many people don't know this conversation is happening or don't know much about it and how it might affect them in the future. I might throw now to Kim. Is there anything else you'd suggest that listeners to this podcast can do to raise the awareness of other people, to broaden the number of people who are aware?
I think obviously communication is the key to that. And I think also as a church, general members of the congregations are really quite accepting of people in leadership taking the lead and also being involved in the decision making and trust us. So I certainly found this when I dealt with the ecclesiastical discipline review that many, many members of the church-wide didn't actually even know that the review was going on, didn't know that they could have made submissions. And it's exactly the same here. There's probably at a base level in terms of the everyday congregation, there are many people that probably don't even realise that this discussion is taking place. So for people to hear about it, it's just really important for the members that are involved to keep talking about it, spreading the word, spreading the means of which we're communicating through the website and through e-news.
Thanks, Kim. But General Synod has voted on a proposal to ordain women five times, and each time the required two-thirds majority has not been reached, even though sometimes it was a pretty close thing. Why can't we just accept the decision of General Synod and ban all further proposals? Perhaps Pastor David, you'd be a good one to answer this question.
Thanks for giving me the easy one, Lisa. Yeah. Look, I've read and heard that stated many times over the years, but listeners need to be made aware or reminded that under the LCA Constitution, any parish is able to bring a proposal to General Synod, and it's not really constitutionally possible for the leadership simply to ban this conversation or any other conversation that parishes in the church might want to be put on the agenda. So even if this could be done, it It simply wouldn't resolve the ongoing conflict that we're in over ordination, and nor would it acknowledge the importance of this issue to many people in the church. So rather than taking a purely five strokes and you must be out approach, which some people would like, regarding the series of past synodical decisions, the General Pastors Conference last year and then the February 23 Convention of Synod earlier this year really sought to name and address the reality of where the church actually is on this issue. We all need to prayerfully dig deep, I believe, and the February Synod committed us to doing that and working hard together to find a way forward for the church that acknowledges and respects and cares for all members of the church as brothers and sisters who we believe are united together in Christ.
Thanks, Pastor David. We've talked a lot about General Synod and decisions it has made or things that have been brought before it. So it's always a good thing to learn more about the way our church functions overall. So the next question is, and I'll put this to Kim, what is General Synod and what does it do in simple terms?
I think the starting point is to realise that we as a church are a synodical church. So all the power sits with the synod. So it's not that General Church Board is in control. General Church Board makes decisions in relation to the running. It's not that the College of Bishops is in control, because all the major decisions that are made by the church come to synod, and it's synod that votes on those decisions. The constitution is set up in a way that the voting power is essentially with the synod. So we could put many, many things before the church. We could think that we have a wonderful plan. At the end of the day, if synod doesn't vote for it, then that's the end of it, because that is the way that our structure works. So in terms of the way that synod operates, it's then important for the general delegate to come to synod informed, and for them also to continue to inform their congregations about what the discussions are, because ultimately they will be the ones that are voting on these really important issues that will shape the way that the church moves forward.
Well, who are these people who make the decisions at General Synod? How is our synod constructed and who's it made up of?
The constitution lists the composition of General Synod, and attending synod are lay delegates of the congregations. So they're your everyday members of the congregations that are voted in, and that's dependent on congregation size as to how many lay delegates a congregation might have. There's the pastor delegates. There's the members of General Church Board. There's chairpersons of boards and councils of the church, all of the bishops, once secondary and one primary principal elected from each region, Lutheran Education Australia by the principals of that region, past bishops of the church, and three pastors emeriti nominated by the General Church Board. But it's intended to be a broad cross-section of what our church looks like. So in terms of the voting members, lay people comprise approximately two-thirds of the General Synod, and by default that then means that pastors make up that other one-third.
It's a good reminder to have that there's a very strong lay presence and authority in terms of decision-making at our synod. But people who have debated the ordination question over many decades, some have said, well, why don't the bishops make a decision one way or the other about ordination so that we can stop bringing it before synod and arguing over it? Pastor David, you were a bishop for 11 years?
13.
13 years. Why don't the bishops just make a call, and that way we can stop debating and arguing and voting?
Yes, Lisa, I've heard that one a few times over the years as well, after each synod. Firstly, a disclaimer, I'm no longer a member of the College of Bishops. I'm a bishop emeritus, I guess you'd call me today. It was clear to me during 13 years as a district bishop and sitting at the college bishops' table that even if we wanted to make such a ruling, the bishops simply don't have that kind of power constitutionally. Some members of the church might have wished the bishops did have the power to make it go away by making a ruling, but probably as long as we did that in the direction they were hoping for, they would be happy. Otherwise, they'd say we've abused our power. So we don't really have the power. And even if we had it, there's no way we could keep everybody happy anyway. As Kim said, the power to make decisions about church practice and even teaching rests with the General Synod, which is comprised mostly of lay delegates, as she said, about two-thirds and one-third pastor delegates. That's why it's so important that parishes understand the significant role that their elected delegate plays, because it includes deciding the future direction of our church, including its teaching and practice. And it's important that all delegates understand their role as well.
Well, do you want to take us further through that, Pastor David, about the roles and responsibilities of a delegate to General Synod?
I can say that I've found that delegates take their role and responsibilities very seriously, and that's a thing I thank God for as I've been at many conventions over the years. Just practically, somebody who becomes a delegate would be required to make sure they've completed Level 1 Safe Church training. They're highly encouraged to attend General Synod training itself, so they know the rules of transacting business and can ask questions that they may have before they attend. When matters of particular importance or complexity are likely to be on the agenda, there may be special engagement events or training online or in person that they can access, so they become familiar with the topic and can ask their questions again prior to attending the Synod. It's important also for delegates to know that while it's important for them to brief their parish about the proposals before the Synod, they're not under an obligation to take direction from their parish in terms of how they should vote when they eventually get to the convention. Neither are they required to report back on how they voted or feel they have to justify it to their parish in some way. They're at the Synod not just for the sake of their own parish, but for the whole church, and their parish is a part of the whole church. So when they attend, a delegate wears not only their parish hat, but they wear their LCA hat ultimately. So they need to be there with all other delegates that are there for the sake of the whole church to hear the debate and then weigh up what they hear, not only what they bring to the Synod, but what they hear at the Synod, towards a decision collectively that is in the best interests of the whole church together with other delegates.
So if you're not a delegate, how can you contribute to the General Synod deliberations? Maybe Trevor, I'll ask you for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, great question. And it's truly a great question because not everyone can attend a convention of the Synod and not everyone then can participate on the day. And so how then do you actually contribute to those deliberations? And as Pastor David said, it's really important that delegates are informed prior to going to convention what the thoughts of the people they represent are. But it's as equally important that they're given freedom to consider how to vote based on the debate, because we believe that through the Holy Spirit, we come to conclusions at debate in Convention of Synod. So I think the main way here would be for individual members to seek out their Synod delegates and go and speak with them. You know, something we don't do necessarily well across the church is actually prior to a Convention of Synod, having a parish meeting or a congregational meeting and actually talking about these issues as a community with that delegate, so that when the delegate leaves and comes to convention, they actually come understanding what the feeling is of the folks that they're representing. And so it would be very appropriate, I think, for the delegate to have a meeting with the permission of the chair, obviously, to listen, debate, consider those issues and bring that forward with them to General Synod. It'd be a great foundation for them.
So if general members have questions or concerns or want to give feedback about the Way Forward project, Where should they go, Trevor? You're the chair of the Communications Working Group. What would you recommend?
The easiest place, and most people are able to do this now, is to go to the LCA website. There's a little Way Forward logo, and it's quite an innovative little logo. If you go and read the background to that, there's a really nice background that talks about our unification in Christ. If you click on that, that'll actually take you through to the Way Forward webpage. And on the webpage, we'll have a Q&A document up there where whenever we receive any sort of feedback, we try and respond to that in a timely manner. So there's a place there for you to ask questions. And as we start to seek feedback from our membership, most of that will be right there.
Are there any other thoughts that any of you would like to share? Pastor David?
Once again, I'd just like to assure listeners that the project management team and the working groups are really trying to listen carefully to all voices, to consider the consciences of people, the implications of the decisions that might eventually be made towards bringing a framework to Synod. And I'd just ask for their prayers for people of goodwill who are giving much time, a lot of time, as volunteers to help the church through this impasse that we would all like to have resolved. So we do ask for your prayers. The other thing just builds on something that Trevor said in one of his latter answers, and that is I'd really encourage congregations to have a respectful conversation with their delegate, with their pastor. And I'd also urge pastors particularly too to make sure that they are even-handed in making sure voices can be heard, listened to and respected. Sometimes both pastors and lay people have very strong convictions. We're not always the best at listening. We have to be honest with ourselves about that because we want to get our view across. But I would just encourage pastors and lay people to be brave and have those conversations locally rather than hide from them, but to do so respectfully for the sake of the church and the delegate who's going to take that information on board as they come to the Synod and represent them.
Thanks, Pastor David. And Kim, any final thoughts from you?
Yes, I think that the most important thing is for general members to talk to their delegates, to try and inform themselves as much as they possibly can, because this is obviously a monumental task for everyone involved. It is going to change the way that the church looks potentially, and it would be really, really sad to get to the end of this project and have general church members just turn around and say to us we had no idea what was happening. So I think it is really important that everyone involved talks to members, talks to their local congregations, and tries to get as much information out there at the very base level as possible, so that we as a church are really informed about the decisions that are being made at Synod.
Trevor, any final thoughts from you?
Get involved, folks. Get on the website, click on the little logo, go and have a look. And I think David and Kim are correct. The worst thing that could happen is that we get to October and what we've had is a whole bunch of really bad discourse that just doesn't flow nicely. People aren't respecting each other. We need to respect each other. We need to be people of goodwill, as Pastor David had said. We need to be talking with each other. It's in these conversations that I firmly believe that the Holy Spirit moves. And it's in the goodwill of the Holy Spirit and in our common love. 99.9% of the people agree with 99.9% of the church. And we need to have this conversation and then move forward in bringing people to Christ. Whatever the outcome, please don't be a bystander. Please get involved, have a look, ask questions. Because the only way that we educate ourselves is through asking questions. Ask questions, read what's available. If there's stuff not available, ask if there's stuff available. And I'm sure somewhere along the line, someone will be able to provide that for you. But certainly, please get involved. My dad's 93. And he spent his life as a missionary in Papua New Guinea for our church, and then in more recent years as a missionary up in far north Queensland. You know what my dad said to me a couple of weeks ago? He said, Trevor, 1966 wouldn't have happened if the laity didn't get involved. And I think the same is true now.
Thank you, Trevor. And of course, your dad's reference to 1966 was referring to the birth of the LCA from the amalgamation of two synods, the ELCA and the UELCA. And thanks to each of you today for coming on to this panel, because this is about information and making sure that people are aware of the Way Forward Project, what is happening, what it's all about, and how it is the commitment of the LCANZ to move forward together in unity. So thank you to Pastor David Altus, thank you to Kim Bummler, and thank you to Trevor Ruthenberg for joining me today. Bless you all. And thank you to our listeners for joining us too. If you're not already a Laudio subscriber, go to www.lca.org.au/podcast to sign up to be notified each time a new podcast is released. God bless and bye for now.